sisters, with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, on FM 94.7.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is not only the foundation of everything we believe, it's also our hope for a new, changed life in Jesus Christ. And that's what our study in 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us of today on Through the Bible. You know, it's absolutely the most important event in all of history. 3 days after Jesus Christ suffered and died for the sins of the world, he rose again. That single event signified that Jesus' sacrificial death on our behalf was acceptable to God, and today we'll discover how the resurrection impacts us personally. Our teacher is Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I invite you to hop aboard the Bible bus as you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And by the way, some say it's one of the most important passages in the Bible. Now, here are a couple of great letters that I know you're going to enjoy. The first is from Michael in Vancouver, Washington. I started listening to Through the Bible sometime back in the 1970s when I was a college student. Dr. McGee's teaching strengthened my faith each time I listened. Over the years, I drifted away from a close relationship with Jesus a couple times, but both times, your program woke me up and set me back on the path. I still have all the notes and outlines I received back then. I have now been retired for 1 year and 3 days. I'm on the Bible bus every weekday morning with my Bible open on the table, pen in hand, and notes ready. When I hear Dr. McGee's voice, it's like he's in my house. Next to Jesus, who do I want to see first in heaven? I can't wait to meet Dr. McGee, and I'm sure there will be a long line. Bless you all for your continued hard work, and thanks to faithful supporters who keep the Bible bus on the road. I will continue to share breakfast, prayers, and God's Word with you every morning until God calls me home. And then next we got a message from Cambodia, and this person told our field associates on the ground that this message from Fee. I was born a Buddhist, like almost everyone I know. As a grown man, I felt frightened to ask anyone the questions I had about the afterlife. We believe in samsara, the process of attaining life after death, until we reach nirvana. My questions went unanswered, and my soul suffered anguish. Something in my spirit said what we believed was not true. This anguish was addressed when I met a man who told me about Jesus Christ, that he had died as punishment for my sin, and he told me about the Bible, the holy book from the one God who was able to satisfy my soul. I asked him where I could discover more, and he directed me to your program in my language of Khmer. I listened for many weeks and have now given my faith to Jesus Christ, the only one to provide new life, only attainable in his name and through his sacrificial death. This is remarkable truth and the only message that brings peace to my soul. Jesus Christ is my Lord and the one I have been looking for my whole life. Thank you for introducing me to him. Wow. Well, praise God for this new brother in Christ. You know, if you'd like to pray with us that the gospel makes inroads to places like Cambodia, why don't you join our world prayer team? You know, every day when we get the short email, we can take a moment to pray for people in our country of the day. And we know that God delights in answering the prayers of his people, don't we? Why don't you sign up today at ttb.org/pray. Now let's do that as we begin our great study about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this amazing act of mercy and grace that we celebrate today. Thank you for saving us, broken and sinful people all over the world, through the work of your precious Son. We come to you in his name now. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee for our study today in 1 Corinthians 15.
Now, we've come to a chapter that can be classified as one of the most important and crucial chapters of the Bible. If you would pick out 10 of the greatest chapters of the Bible, which men have done constantly from the beginning of the Christian era, you will find that 1 Corinthians 15 occurs in practically all of those lists. It's that important. It's so important that actually it answers really the very first heresy of the church, which was a denial of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is coming in this chapter to the third great spirituality. Now, you will recall in the first part, he dealt with carnalities. He dealt with these things that's so important to us today. My, we just feel like you've got to have a series of lectures on sex today. And certainly divisions mark the church today, the little sects, the little cliques, the little groups that are in churches today. And I have a letter from a dear lady that rebukes me for making a statement some time ago that the meanest people I've ever met were in the church, not out of the church. Now, may I say, I hold to that statement. But I probably should have added another statement and said the sweetest, the most wonderful people I've ever met are in the church also. But the reason I mention that is because the meanest people ought not to be there by any means at all. But Paul's writing, dealing with those things. They were going to law one with another, going into court, airing the skeletons in the closet, and they shouldn't have done that. And then we have them engrossed in problems that concern divorce and all of these little things today, the eating of meat and whether you get a haircut or not and whether a woman should wear a hat to church or not. Those are things that seem very trivial and yet they seem so important to us today and they are the things we discuss today. But how about the gifts of the Spirit? That was a spirituality and Paul talked about that. And how wonderful it was to know, friends, that every believer today has a gift. I can't think of anything more thrilling than that. Now, can you think of anything more wonderful today than to know that God's given you a gift if you're a Christian and that you are to function in this world and not only function in this world, my friend, you are to be a partner with Jesus Christ and a tremendous enterprise of making him known. And what a challenge it is to young people today to find out what their gift is and exercises. That gives purpose to life. And that's been left out today, unfortunately, by the church and by the home. And as a result, the young people go off in this direction. And candidly, I don't blame them. I'm not blaming that young fellow at all, which I didn't. I have great sympathy for him. And then, may I say that there was that great love chapter, that things are to be exercised in love, and love is a gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't work up love down here. It's only the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I should say, not a gift. The gift is one thing, fruit is another. And we need the fruit today, I think, above everything else in the Christian life. Now we come to the third great spirituality. And that's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our resurrection. The glory of the Christian faith is that it never views life as ending with death or that this life is all. It always looks to the sunrise. It never looks at the sunset. It looks out yonder into eternity. And what a hope it offers. And may I say that's something else that gives purpose to life. I expect to live in eternity, and I'm not in a hurry to get there, I can assure you that. I want to stay in this life as long as I can, because I think down here is where you do your service. And I think this is preparation, and I think that what you do here will have to do with your reward. So I want to get a few things on my side of the ledger. Don't think I've got much, but I would like to get a few things there. That song, "Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown," they don't sing that anymore. Have you noticed that? Why? Because they're not looking at stars in their crown. They're trying to be a star down here. My friend, oh, that we might get this tremendous view that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus should give to the believer today. And that is something that gives purpose to life. You see, we've lost sight of the essentials, and we got our mind on incidentals today. And that, of course, just adds up to one tragedy after another, even among professing Christians today. Now, as we come to this chapter here, as we've said, this chapter actually deals with the gospel. And it shows that the most important part of the gospel is the resurrection of Christ. Without it, everything else, frankly, is meaningless, even the death of Christ. It's the resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. In his death, he subtracted my sin. But in his resurrection, he gave me, may I say to you, he gave me a sure, abundant entrance into heaven. And I stand in his righteousness. He's delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification, or for our righteousness. Now, I think that probably as we get into this chapter, might be well for us to define and delineate very sharply the meaning of the resurrection. The resurrection is not spiritual. It's physical. The word is anastasis nekron. That means the standing up of a corpse. That's the language that's used. That means these bodies of ours are to be raised. And we're going to see Paul will define what he means by the resurrection. The resurrection in Scripture always refers to the body. Anastasis means the standing up. Histami, to stand, ana, up. The standing up of the body. It can't be spiritual. C.S. Lewis, that brilliant Oxford Don, ridiculed the liberals in England in his day. He asked the question when they talked about the resurrection being spiritual. He says, what position does a spirit get in when it stands up? And that, my friend, is something for the liberal to kick around for a little while and see if he can come up with an answer to that one. Now, may I say that we want to get into this, and we want to note that in Corinth of that day and in the Roman world of that day, there were actually three philosophies concerning death and life after death. There was Stoicism, and Stoicism taught that the soul merged into deity at death, and that was therefore the destruction of the personality. That actually makes a resurrection a non-entity. And then there was the Epicurean philosophy. It was materialistic. There was no existence beyond death in their teaching. And then there was Platonism. Platonism taught the immortality of the soul, more or less like transmigration. You find that teaching in India, you find it today in Platonism, and you find it in some of the cults today. It denied the bodily resurrection. That's the reason when Paul mentioned in Athens the resurrection, they thought that he was talking about a new God. And today, we need to understand very clearly that Paul's not talking about spiritual resurrection. The soul does not die. The minute that a body dies, the person goes somewhere. If he's a child of God, it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. If he's not, then he goes to the place of torment. Our Lord labeled it that. I didn't. Now, will you notice, and I have a division. I don't exactly follow it, by the way, at this point. We have here in chapter 15 concerning the gospel. We have, first of all, the prominence of the resurrection in the gospel, and then proofs of the resurrection. And actually, what we have here is four proofs, really, of the resurrection in the prominence of the gospel. First of all, Paul says here that it's part of the gospel, and there's no gospel without the resurrection. As Dr. Machen put it, Christianity does not rest on a set of ideas or a creed, but upon facts. The gospel is not the Sermon on the Mount. It's not the Ten Commandments. The gospel is a series of facts concerning a person. That person is Christ. Listen to Paul. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. That answers the question of whether Paul is the one who originated the gospel. He did not. He said, I received this. Where did he receive it? He received it out yonder in that Arabian desert, because that's where the Lord took him and taught him. And he did not know the Lord Jesus is back from the dead. In fact, he didn't believe it on the Damascus Road, and he asked the question, who art thou, Lord? He didn't dream it was Jesus at all. Now he says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now, Paul says he'd preach the gospel to them. Now, what is that gospel that he preached to them? Because he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. What is it? Well, he says, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, there's something here that's very important. First of all, the great proof is that it's part of the gospel. There's no gospel without the resurrection, and it concerns the death of the Lord Jesus. He died for our sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Those are the facts. And my friend, there's no gospel apart from those facts. That's what the gospel is. It's what Jesus did for you and for me. Now, this is gospel. It's good news. Now, if you suppose you'd come to me today and you'd say, Preacher, I've been thinking it over, and I'm interested in you, and I'd like to see you become a millionaire. And I'd say, well, that would be nice. And you'd say, now, I have a plan here. If you'd get a job, and you'll be able to work, and you'll be able to make so much, and in about 1,000 years, you'd be worth $1 million. Now, I want to say to you, friends, as much as I could use, actually, $1 million, and I think I could use it in the Lord's work, and I'd use it on radio. I think that's the greatest avenue today for getting out the word. And I could use it. And I'd thank you for it. And I'd say, that's great. But I don't get the point. That's good news. If you think that by me working, I can make $1 million, you're wrong. That's not good news. In fact, it's bad news. Now, suppose, though, you come to me and you tell me, you know, there was a friend of yours, and he loved you, and he made $1 million, and he died, and he's left you $1 million. You think that would be good news? My friend, that would be good news, you see. Now, the gospel is what Jesus Christ has done for me, done for you. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He's buried. He rose again the third day. Now, he died. That's a historical fact. Very few would deny that. He was buried. I like that put in there. Somebody says, why is that so important? That means, friends, that he didn't disappear. That doesn't mean he ran off somewhere. That means that they had his body. And this man, Nicodemus, and Joseph of Arimathea, and the others that saw him crucified, they knew who it was. It was Jesus that buried him. May I say to you that that is important. He died. That confirms his death. Now, it says he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he rose again. That's part of it. That tomb was empty. And that's important to see. That means that the gospel is that Jesus died, buried, rose again. That's the first proof. The second is the experience of the Corinthians. Let me read this again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. That is, unless it was empty faith. And there's that kind of faith, of course. But he says, by which ye are saved. The church is the proof of it. Why, do you know those men were scattered? And there happened to be 11 men in Jerusalem or in its environs that if Jesus was dead, they didn't want the body out of the grave. They wanted to stay there. They were in enough trouble. And these men were scattered, discouraged, ready to go back to fishing. And what happened? Word came that he was back from the dead. May I say that revolutionized them. That brought into existence the church. And for 1900 years, there have been millions of people that say he's back from the dead. You can't explain the church apart from the resurrection. I'm saved by the death, resurrection of Jesus. May I say to you, without his resurrection, I'd have no gospel. I'd have no living Christ today. I'd have no Savior. May I say that's the second great proof. And the third is, I didn't emphasize this a moment ago, but did you notice it says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he also buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. What scriptures? Old Testament, by the way. I'd love to have been with Paul the Apostle when he arrived over in Europe, went to Philippi, Thessalonica, then down to Athens, then on over to Corinth. I think he had with him a parchment, and it was the Old Testament. And I think that when he went into the synagogue and he mentioned the death of the Lord Jesus, they said, well, this is not in our scriptures at all. I think he turned back to the book of Genesis, and he said, I'd like to tell you about the offering of Isaac and how Abraham received him from the dead. He was ready to kill a boy, and that God spared not his own son, but delivered him up freely for us all, but he did spare Abraham's son. And he says that's in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Then I think he turned over to all five of those offerings in Leviticus. Then I think he turned to the 22nd Psalm and showed them the crucifixion of Christ. Then he turned to the 53rd of Isaiah and in many other passages. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This was the fulfillment of scriptures. My friend, it's very hard to gainsay that argument, may I say to you. The expectation of the Old Testament. This life is not all. Those that say today, I do not believe in a hereafter religion, but a here and now. I like them both. I have a here and now religion. I also have a hereafter religion. Now the fourth proof that we have here are the witnesses. And you can't get around witnesses. Any lawyer that went to court today would love to have this many witnesses. If he did, he'd win his case. And I don't care what it was. Verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Mention Cephas first. He appeared to Cephas privately. You say, what took place? None of my business, and I guess it's none of yours either. He appeared to Cephas. After all, he denied him. He had to get things straightened out. You see, our Lord was in the foot washing business. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And somebody says, then of the 12, who are we talking about? We're talking about 10 men. He's appeared to Cephas privately, and then he appeared to the 10. But they've been called the 12, because when they all put together and Paul joins them, you have the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. 500 saw him at one time. I think it is up yonder in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee somewhere. You remember he said to them, I will meet you in Galilee. And I think as these men moved up through the country, they said, where are you going? Jesus died. Are you going back to fishing? No, we're going up there to meet him. He's back from the dead. And I think there were 500 followers of him that were up there to see him at one time. Now, will you notice? After that, he was seen of James, probably a private interview, and then of all the apostles. But last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul says, I saw him. My friend, it's very difficult to answer a man who saw it, especially if you didn't see. Very difficult. These are the witnesses. Here are the four proofs that Paul gives us right here at the beginning of the resurrection. Now we're going to follow through on this next time. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Next time, we'll explore more of the four proofs of Jesus' resurrection. To read more on this topic, just go to ttb.org/booklets. Look for these titles, What is Christmas Without the Resurrection? And Witnesses, After He Died, They Saw Him Alive. This content was drawn from great sermons from Dr. McGee and will help you go even deeper in your understanding of this gift given to us. And while you're online at ttb.org, why don't you sign up to receive our monthly ministry newsletter? It's packed with ways that you can learn from Dr. McGee and then join with us in taking the whole word to the whole world. You can get it in your mailbox or by email. Again, that's ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you're in touch with us, be sure to tell us how you hop aboard the Bible bus. Do you listen by app or podcast in your car with the Bible Companion open on your laptop or at home on Alexa while you're cooking dinner? Or maybe you tune in to your favorite radio station and have breakfast like Michael mentioned earlier. Well, your choices really do matter to us, and we want to continue making them available, so be sure to let us know. Well, it's been a great day to study God's Word, hasn't it? Next time, we continue with one of the greatest chapters in the Word of God as our journey through the Bible moves forward. I'm Steve Schwetz, grateful for your company on the Bible Bus and your partnership in taking God's whole Word to His whole world.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I sin had left the prince of sin, he washed me white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, in the Atlantic, Indian Harbor Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Poco, 99.9 FM.
Love has been spread abroad to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God.
said, for God so loved the world. You, there may be people out there that don't love you, but I want to tell you today that God loves you. He loves you so much until he sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is Jesus, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have eternal life. And Minister Gloria, it is so important that we stay focused. It may not, a lot of people will say, well, I believe in Buddha, I believe in Socrates, I believe in Hare Krishna, I believe in Muhammad. All of those, they're just mortal men. But the one that came to bring forth deliverance for humanity is the Lord Jesus Christ. He clothed himself in humanity, praise God. 100% man and 100% God. And he came to deliver us. The whole world lies in sin. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us that the whole world, everybody has sinned. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter who you are. You are a sinner. And the word says that God loves us all. And he sent Jesus to bring forth redemption so that we could get back home. Praise God. In Romans 3:23, it tells us that all have sinned. That's everybody. So if all have sinned, then all needs a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Savior of the whole world. There's no one can get saved except through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives.
Amen.
He is the Savior.
To confirm what you're saying, Pastor, Romans 5 and 8, it says, but God commends his love toward us.
Yes.
And that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes, Christ died for us. And this is why our focus has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that died there on Calvary's cross for all of our sins, sicknesses, griefs and sorrows, shortcomings, whatever they may be. Jesus died for us, praise God. He is the substitute. He took our place on Calvary's cross. You know, he never sinned, but he took our sin. And that's why it is so important that we stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what we are going through, we are going through it with Jesus, because Jesus is the one that has done it all. You know, a lot of times people say, well, there are other things that I can do this on the side and still I can make it into heaven. Or I don't kill anybody, I don't steal it, and I don't rob or do all of these other things. Listen, but that's only self-righteous. But see, we're not talking about self-righteousness. We're speaking about the righteousness of God. And the only way that one can have the righteousness of God is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And many people speak about themselves and what they are capable of doing. But I want to tell you today, I'm not able to do anything without Christ. What about you, Mr. Brown?
Amen. Right.
Praise God.
We can do nothing without Christ. Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Because what happened is that our focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive him as Lord and Savior of our lives, then we put our lives in his hands, and he is in full control of our lives. Praise God. Praise God. So God sent his Son. Praise God. And in the 17th verse, it tells us there that God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world. Well, the world was already in sin. So if you were in sin, then you actually were condemned, because you didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says God sent not his Son in the world. Now keep in mind, God loved the world. He so loved the world that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Praise God. Isn't that powerful?
Yes, it is.
Glory to God. But he sent him not in the world to condemn the world. You see, and everybody's thinking that Jesus Christ, I don't know why folks don't want to open up their hearts and receive the only one that's able to give them eternal life. The scripture tells us that God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world world through him might be saved.
Amen.
See, the world enthroned in darkness, being listening to the voice of a different drummer. But I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Savior. He came to save us, came to rescue us. We were all sinners. We were born in sin. After the fall of Adam and Eve, we were born in sin. That is the reason why we must be born again. And, you know, it's amazing how in the previous verses where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and told Nicodemus that he had to be born again, you know, isn't that something?
Yeah.
He had to be born again.
Okay.
Because he could understand the things of the kingdom. But what happened is that it's amazing. He came to Jesus by night. And he said, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Glory to God. Isn't that just a powerful purpose?
Surely is.
That God be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just brought that in there, that Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, he was religious, and God doesn't want religion. He wants a relationship. Praise God. And that's why he sent forth his son, Jesus, that when we receive him, I tell you a minute ago, when we receive him, because we can do nothing else. We don't need to be talking about ourselves, or how famous we are, or the things that we are capable of doing. We're not capable of doing anything other than what the Lord Jesus Christ empowers us to do.
Amen.
As a child of God. Now, there are other folks on the other side feel that what they've achieved and the things that they have, that it was done through the hands of their own strength. Well, we may look at that if you are unregenerated. If you're not born again, you may look at the things that you've done. But I come today to tell everyone out there that have tuned into this broadcast that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you and that he came to die for you. The Father sent him. He didn't come on his own. He didn't come because he didn't have anything else to do in heaven. Jesus came because we were all sinners. We were all sinners. Now you hear people talking about, well, they're sinners saved by grace. Well, I want to tell you today that either you're a sinner or you're a child of God.
Praise God.
Amen. You know, well, if you're a sinner, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ because it's already been made possible for you to be a child of God. If you believe, that's the qualifier, if you believe what Jesus Christ has done for us all on Calvary's cross. Minister Glory, it's awesome when we can just think of the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Would you read that to the radio listeners out there? I don't know who is tuned into this broadcast, but I would say this much. I don't really need to know. The Word, let the Word go forth, and it will find its mark in the heart of every person that will believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21.
For he has made him to sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Praise God. Now, we keep in mind that the epistles that were written, it wasn't written to unregenerated people. It was written to folks that are saved, folks that are trusting in the Lord. And I want to tell you, excuse me, that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Apostle Paul was speaking. He said, for God, or for he, that is God, has made him, that is Jesus, to be a sin offering for you. Our whole point of being on this radio broadcast with the limited amount of time that we have, with the blessings of the Lord, to be able to speak from this platform to tell people about Jesus, not about us, because it's not about us. It's only about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here that the Father sent the Son to be a sin offering. Now Jesus never sinned, but he became a sin offering. He is your substitute. Good God Almighty. What happened is that He came and took our place there on Calvary. Amen. And a lot of folks, even in churches today, they're trying to earn their way to get back to God. And the word tells us that you can't do that. Your faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he's done. When we stay focused, good God Almighty, when we stay focused, and this is most important, to stay focused. Don't look to the left nor to the right, but you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul's saying here that he never sinned. The Lord Jesus Christ never sinned, but he was made a sin offering. That's a perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice for you and for me. We're not caught up in the numbers in a church building. We're not caught up in everything that people are doing. The only one that we are caught up in is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one. Glory to God. He is the one that can do it all, has done it all. He's the perfect sacrifice. And the scripture tells us that he was made a sin offering for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that is important. In him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. I want to tell you something today, that anyone that is tuned in this broadcast, stop trying to do this thing with your own energy of the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. It cannot please God. And I want to tell you that all you need to do is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him. Keep your eyes on him. He'll keep you in perfect peace. He will bring forth whatever desire that one needs. It only can come through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Amen. Ms. Girl, you have something that you want to say up here? Because folks are trusting in themselves. You talk to people and you, for a few minutes, and you find out, I can't do this. I haven't been baptized. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to do this. Well, he has done it all. The sacrifice has already been made. There's only one sacrifice, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect sacrifice.
And now Hebrews 12:2 says, we are to look up to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross.
Yeah.
No one else but Jesus. He done it all, and it's all finished. All we have to do is believe what he has done.
Well, he endured the cross. He despised the shame.
Yes.
And he's now sat down at the right hand
of the throne of God, making intercessions for the saints. Hallelujah.
The throne of God.
Amen.
Well, he would not have been able to sit down had he not finished the work that the Father did, because God sent him. So if he is sitting down, that means that he finished. And it is a finished work.
Yes, it is.
It's a finished work.
Yes.
And they're folks that are trying to add to what Jesus has done.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. We just have to stop and just think about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Our faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I can't add to anything that Christ has done. Well, the scripture tells us there in St. John 14 and verse 12, which is so grossly misunderstood, mm-hmm. misrepresented, and misinterpreted concerning that you can do better works than Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, well, Christ never, he never got on a radio broadcast. he never done all these other things. Because the scripture tells us that he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Well, what's happening is that he went to the Father, sent back the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to do the work of God.
That's right.
Amen. We cannot do it in our own strength or ability.
Mm-hmm.
We must depend on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because he is the one that does what? He is the one that God leads us. Praise God.
That's right.
Remember reading, we were studying in St. John 16 and verse 13. section where it talks about you want to read that?
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come.
Glory to God, he's come already.
He will guide you into all truth. For he said not speak of himself, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
Praise God. Our dependency has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. And many people today, they are trying to earn. They are trying to you know, it's a funny thing. They are trying to earn the love of God.
When the scripture tells us God so loved the world. God loved us, and he loved you. And you quoted a verse of scripture there before. In, I think it was in Romans 5, verse 8, that God, he sent Jesus.
Amen. What was that verse of scripture that you quoted there?
5:8?
Yes, in 5:8. Yes,
God commended his love toward us.
Yes.
And that while we were yet sinners,
yes,
Christ died for us.
So then God demonstrated his love. See, love is not something that we talk about. It is something that we do. And what happened is that God did something about it. He didn't sit there and say, well, I have love. And no. He did something about his love. He loved us so much, praise God, that he sent his son Jesus. And let's look at it a little further. We'll go back into St. John, in the third chapter of St. John. And because the Bible tells that a little here and a little there, you know, so we can draw strength from all parts of the Bible, because the Bible interprets itself. It doesn't need me to get another book to try to interpret this holy book. This is the Word of God. When I pray to God. And when I read the Word, God is talking to me. Amen. So he is speaking to us right now and telling us everything that we need to know through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the 18th verse, you want to read the 18th verse?
He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already.
See, this is the whole thing. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not condemned. But there are a lot of condemned people out there that are trying to earn the salvation on their own strength. It cannot be done. The whole idea is for us to believe in Jesus. He came. No one else came to rescue us. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Although there are many false prophets out there, the Word of God tells us that. But we're not trying to lift up no false prophet. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus. I want to lift up Jesus.
Amen.
And only Jesus. He is the one. Glory to his wonderful name. He is the one that is high. He is the one that sits up. Look low. That heaven is its throne and earth is his footstool. He is the one that has called me and you and everyone that believe out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glory to God. So he that believeth, you know, he didn't say anything about believing in what church you belong to.
Nope.
The name over the door. You know, that's not what he said. He said he that believeth on the Son is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Glory to God. We need this. This is why Jesus needs to be lifted up in the sanctuary. I'm going to tell you, and if you're out there in radio land, I'm getting ready to preach this gospel. But I tell you, it's something that it gets me fired up, because I want to tell you that there's nothing that you or I can do. We need to move by the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Everything that he has done for us, and the Lord Jesus Christ came that perfect sacrifice. Minister Glory, you know, a lot of folks are saying, they love the Lord. Well, I want to tell you something. We're not here to judge anyone's belief. You know, the Bible tells us that we judge ourselves, that we will not be judged. And that's what I want to judge myself, so I won't be judged. But the point is that through the activity and everything that one is doing gives us a strong illustration whether you have received the Lord Jesus Christ or not.
That's right.
He's got no called me to go around inspecting people, trying to see whether you're saved or not. If you said, hey, praise God, you're born again, that's wonderful. But I want to tell you.
Jesus said, you know him by the fruit. You know them by the fruit.
Yes, praise God.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we thank God. And I just want to say something before we get into closing minute here, is that the Word tells us that we're all children of God
by
faith in Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, glory to God. We thank God for this time that been allotted for us on this broadcast here to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, not about ourselves. So, Mr. Gloria, in the closing minutes here, would you just explain to those out there that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray for those that know him, that we need to spread this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. It reads that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
amen,
the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God, praise God. We thank you all out there in Radio Land, brethren, and those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Spirit of the living God will touch your heart, and you will come out of the rain into the Ark of the Covenant. And thank the Lord Jesus Christ for being your substitute. I want to tell you, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You will be saved. God bless you all. Until the next broadcast.
Been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.
Come on, put those hands together. How many of y'all know that it's a new day? Yesterday is over. Oh, y'all gonna make that quartet come out of me, yeah.